Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
FSP, doing what I do, because I do it for you every day, all day. Nowhere to go but here on Blog Talk Radio, VICHK. Why did I do that? Mr. FSP. I'm over here looking at wrestling and, you know, getting lost and forgetting that I got a show to do. But let me just go ahead and bring in my co-host, JTATM Money, to save me, because I'm up here laughing and giggling about what I just saw on the internet.
Jason, I have no idea what's going on with you. Hello, hello. Welcome once again.
All right. Dude, I was up here enthralled in this, like, I don't know if you follow wrestling or how deep you follow wrestling, but I was looking at this Generation X reunion on the internet, and I got lost and I forgot the time, and I was like, I heard your show will be live in 5, 4. I was like, oh, God. So I was panicking.
Okay.
But anyway, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. On this webisode, I call it a webisode because it's I should call it a blogisode, shouldn't I? Yeah, I guess so. We'll tackle the NFL playoffs, who's going to advance and who will disappoint. The NHL is back. Does anyone really care, and was it worth it? Jerry's favorite subject. Strike Force is closing its doors after tonight's card. Has Zuffa, the parent company of UFC, taken out its best competition? Is MMA turning into the boxing industry? The question I want to talk to Jerry about today, everybody else that calls in. Also, I told you guys, and I'm a big Redskin fan. Everybody knows I'm a big RG3 fan. But RGD is a great talent, but does Russell Wilson get the rookie of the year over RG3 and Luck if he takes the Seahawks to the NFC Championship game, or does he win it outright? So we got this and more, so stick around and stay with us. If you want to call in, you can always dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Or you can go to our site, blogtalkradio.com/EICHBK, and just kick it with us on the chat room. We got a lot of sound bites. I see Jerry had some in there from Carmelo Anthony. I wonder if Lala does taste like Honey Nut Cheerios. She looks like it. I'm just saying. We're going to hear from Alfred Morris on why it wasn't a good idea to pull RG3 from the game. We'll hear from Pete Carroll on the big matchup against Atlanta Falcons on his DBs versus Atlanta's top-notch wide receivers. Connor Barman will talk about the Texans having to step up and face these Patriots. We'll also hear from Pete Carroll on Russell Wilson, stating his case for Russell Wilson. We got Nick Saban on tap and some more. Jerry has some more sound bites lined up for me. I don't know if you played them yesterday or not, but we can get into those as well if you like, sir.
Hey, you do what you do, man. I'm here to support you today.
Well, I want to say Happy New Year to you, my brother. I know I wasn't here last week. Had work.
That's true. That's right. You were. Happy New Year to you. You're right.
Yes. So I had to make sure I told you. Happy New Year. I know I'm a little late. But it is what it is. I appreciate you guys. Monday's show was outstanding.
Yeah, okay. 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 Was it featured or something, or what happened there? Because that
yes,
was,
it was.
Yes, definitely
was.
A fluke.
Wow. Since you said that, I'm going to attack your favorite subject first. I was going to go through MMA.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
just,
right.
Why don't you just mute me, because you may not like what I'm going to say. But
dude, that's the
go.
Point of having a conversation, because I don't like what you're going to have to say. Gonna talk about. That's why. That's the point of having the conversation. Anyway.
Okay.
All right. If you're in the MMA world, mixed martial arts world, you
who
know.
I don't could be. Oh, God.
CEO fart. Don't
this
you
sucks.
On that picture that you
this
tagged
sucks.
Your family. But
oh,
I'm
thank you.
Now.
My sister put that up. But thank
hey,
you.
It's
that,
beautiful. It's a good picture, man. It's a good picture.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But anyway, if you're in the MMA world, you know some time ago that the UFC or Zuffa, who are the parent company, or who is the parent company of the UFC, purchased its most competitive competition in Strikeforce. After the whole debacle with Timbo Slice, and they found out that the owner and the producers of Strikeforce were trying to pay off guys to stand up with Timbo Slice and all that, it kind of went down in the drain. So Zuffa said, in order to save the sport, so it doesn't seem like it's boxing, where people are fixing fights, that they take it, work it for a year or so, or a couple of years, and use it as a developmental ground for its UFC fighters. There's
mm-hmm.
also a group called Bellator, which is more of a tournament. They do a tournament style with their cards as opposed to fighters just fighting, trying to go up in ranks. It's a unique, it's actually the way the UFC started, in tournament format. And there's another mm-hmm. one called World Series of Fighters, which is pretty much like UFC, but just they're on a show-to-show basis. They're not really big. But right now, today is the last card that Strikeforce will put on under that name, Strikeforce.
Thank God.
Some of the talent from, quiet. Some of the talent from Strikeforce has already crossed over to the UFC, and they're trying to make their mark. Former UFC stars have gone to Strikeforce.
Who cares?
And now maybe returning. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Anyway. The issue is this. The issue is this, ladies and gentlemen. As is in any business, if there is no competition, there's a monopoly. And with a monopoly, a business can provide whatever they want to the audience, just as long as it's somewhat pleasing to the masses, that they can still have a market.
Mm-hmm.
And with Strikeforce actually closing its doors, even though it was owned by Zuffa for a couple of years, it really didn't seem as though it was a competitor at that time. Has the UFC crushed all of its talent, foreign and domestic? Because Pride Fighting went under as well, which was the major mixed martial arts place in Japan. But that was a while ago.
So you're telling me that there's only one entity now for mixed martial arts?
No. Only one major entity that is a mainstream. Bellator is another company, which started out on MTV2, I believe,
okay.
getting a little recognition, and they recently moved from MTV2 to Spike TV,
mm-hmm.
which is the place of UFC, because UFC used to be on Spike, and, you know, Spike is pretty much the main channel now, and when UFC left, it was a big void in Spike TV, so they picked up Bellator. Bellator, again, it's a tournament. Their fight cards are tournaments. So let's say they're trying to do a middleweight champion. So they'll get the 8 best or 12 best middleweights that aren't with UFC and let them compete in a tournament that goes on for a year or so. And, no, excuse me, for, a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then they crown their champion. And then they do another tournament over the next year or so, so that champion can fight and defend his title. But the problem with Bellator is, if a fighter loses in the first round, they don't fight until another tournament comes in. So, that's a downfall with Bellator. But the issue is, UFC can now turn into boxing. What do I mean by that?
Yeah, what
they
do you mean by
that? They have a ton of talent. They have a ton of talent, but not a lot of people know about their talent. They know about the major stars. So instead of having, you know, a fighter fight from, like, the number 10 contender spot to be in the number 1 contender, if that number 10 guy spouts off his mouth like Chael Sonnen did to John Jones and, you know, gets him out, they'll make the fight because the fans want to see that fight. Never mind the fighter that has fought four or five fights in 1 year to move up in the rankings. And therefore, this fighter doesn't get a good payday. This fighter doesn't advance. This fighter doesn't get the title shot that he normally would have done had, you know, he stayed, had the system stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's much of what boxing is now. Whereas you see Manny Pacquiao fighting Juan Marquez for five times or whatever, can't get the fight between him and between Pacquiao and Mayweather. Probably can get it now, but you couldn't get the fight between those two because two major stars demanding so much money and so many things that you had to settle for different fights that nobody really wanted to see. And that's the problem I see MMA or the UFC running into when you don't have the top-tier talent split between several organizations. Because the fans, they might want to see John Jones fight Anderson Silva,
mm-hmm.
who's supposedly the best pound-for-pound mixed martial arts fighter in the world. But they'll never fight because they're not in the same weight class. They'll never fight because Dana White says, if I give you this fight now, what fight do I have left to give you?
Well, sooner or later, he's got to give it. If that's the case, sooner or later, he's going to have to give it. So why not sooner versus later? Doesn't make a difference.
Well, the thing is, you're right, but the thing is, he says that, that Anderson Silva will fight George St. Pierre before he fights John Jones. George St. Pierre and Anderson Silva, I equate that to the Roy Jones and the Executioner fight. You know, how there was a 10-year gap between the fight, or 10-15-year gap between those two having their rematch in boxing, and how nobody really cared about it because both of them, well, Bernard Hawkins didn't fall off. Roy Jones fell off at the time. You know, and the interest wasn't there. Not saying that Anderson Silva versus George St. Pierre won't be a good fight to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Anderson Silva, who's about 37, 38. You have George St. Pierre, who's about 34, 35. Neither of them are in their prime, but they are still excellent fighters. You know, headlining a card. It will make money. It will make money. But
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, it's 3 to 4 years late. Because I noticed that Dana White likes to protect the image of his fighters. He doesn't want his most money-making fighter to get in the ring versus his second-rated money-making fighter and then lose, or vice versa. Why is that? Because now that fighter can't draw the money that he would have had he not fought the top dog. Because now he won't headline an event the way he would have before. Do you understand the thinking on that?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, that's what boxing has done. Boxing has done that. Boxing has done the same thing, and I'm afraid that that's what MMA or the UFC will turn into. And, you know, like Mac, he posted something on his page after I posted the UFC, I mean, Strikeforce was closing, with all these people saying that boxing is dead. Look, MMA is dead. And I'm like, no, dude. UFC owns Strikeforce, and they're closing them. You know, they're closing their competition. It's a monopoly. But, you know, the thing is, boxing is a sport where only a few people dominate and make money and draw money. In MMA, you have several. But if you start pitting them against each other, instead of, like, you know, letting those guys fight, the up-and-comers, the guys that actually earn a title shot, you're going to water down the product, in my opinion. You're going to get a payday. You're going to get a couple paydays, but then it becomes, okay, so now who do I put them against? You know, to draw some money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what boxing is on right now. Who do I put who do I put Money Mayweather against to draw money? Now that Pacquiao ended up flat on his face. There's really nobody out there for him to fight. So that's my thought process. Let me know what you think.
I don't care, man. I'm not an MMA gay. Don't say it like that. I'm not an MMA guy. It's not one of the events or sports that I'm really interested into. So it's irrelevant, in my opinion. I'm sorry to say that. I've told you that more than one time, that you keep on trying to pull me into this MMA, UFC or whatever, and I can't get into it because I think it's glorified wrestling.
Well, I'm asking you not about MMA, the sport itself. I'm asking you about the business aspect of it, on how it's operating, and, you know, the comparison to boxing. That it's in my opinion, it's going the same way boxing is going.
I think it's going in more the way the WWE. Because, like I said, in my opinion, it's glorified boxing. It's just taking boxing to a different level, incorporating your feet. It's no holes barred. So, in my opinion, you're taking it one step further than...
Some bars are holes.
Boxing, you stand up and you punch each other. Anything above the waist. Wrestling, you're doing everything. It doesn't make a difference. You're doing everything to try to gain advantage over your opponent. This incorporates boxing and wrestling together. And in my opinion, it's a glorified part of wrestling. I think he's doing the same type of things with wrestling, with the MMA that the WWE is. I understand that there's boxing involved versus just wrestling in wrestling, but I think, in my opinion, he's following the WWE standard versus the boxing standard or promoting fights and being able to set up big paydays.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but, I mean, that's my opinion.
Well, that's what I'm asking, because you frequently are wrong, but the thing is, you know, your opinion on the subject matter matters because your generation grew up on boxing.
Mm-hmm.
This generation is growing up on mixed martial arts.
That's why this generation is so screwed up.
I'll say this. Both sports teach discipline. Both sports teach a violent action. Both sports also teach defense.
What defense is there when you either can hit the guy wherever you want to hit him, basically, or kick him wherever you want to kick him? And also be able to take him to the ground. I understand that you try to defend yourself against certain blows. But in my opinion, there's really no defense if you're in all intents and purposes, there's no holds barred. There is no defense against that. So,
well, the thing is this: in a fight, does anything go? If
yep.
you're fighting somebody, okay,
yep.
then you're not just boxing in a fight. As I said, defending yourself. Judo is the art of tosses. When you when somebody comes at you, you use their momentum against them. You use all their force and all their aggression against them. It's a
right.
defensive martial art. Jiu-jitsu is more of a subduing martial art. Yes, it goes to the ground, and it allows you to get people to either tap, you can break their arm, you can get them to quit, you can choke them out, you can knock them out, and run away. Boxing is a little different. Boxing, defensively, allows you to move and get out of the way if you're going to box somebody. But in a fight, 9 times out of 10, you'll start off boxing. That fight will last, 20, 30 seconds? At most, it'll last a minute. At most.
Well, this is glorified fighting. Glorified street fighting, in my opinion.
Okay.
So there's no holds barred. I mean, it's just go for whatever. Whatever way that you can defeat your opponent, you do that in order to win.
Okay.
Where I keep on saying, where is the art in that?
The art in martial arts is that you're learning different forms. You're learning many, many different forms.
Yeah, but this is not martial arts.
Yes, it is.
This is not martial arts, in my opinion. Well, I mean, you have different forms, but in all intents and purposes, it's a street fight inside a cage. That's all it is. It's a street fight. You may want to use different art forms of martial arts, but it's basically a street fight. There's no holds barred. You'll defeat your opponent any way you can by using your fists, your elbows, your legs, your feet, whatever takes to get your opponent down and to have him submit.
Okay, so kickboxing isn't a form of boxing or a mixed martial art. It's boxing. All you're doing is throwing kicks.
Yeah, but
so
what
I'm saying, kickboxing isn't a relevant or a good sport or anything like that.
This mixes kickboxing and boxing and whatever else you can throw into
Muay
that.
Thai,
whatever else, and that encompasses everything. Whatever else you can throw into it, and I keep on saying it, to defeat your opponent any way you can with whatever part of body you can defeat your opponent with. That's exactly what it is.
Which is the art.
I don't see any art in that. I don't see any art in getting into the ring with each other with no form of protection. You basically have whatever you bring into the ring, whatever God gave you is what you walk in the ring with, and you find a way to beat your opponent to a pulp, whether it's with your kicking, your elbowing, your kneeing, your shoulders, your elbows, your forearm, or your hands. It doesn't make a difference.
So you're telling me that doesn't happen in boxing? You're telling me none of that happens in boxing? Honestly.
Wait a minute. Now, the legal part of boxing is... The legal part of boxing is using your hands. Anything other than that is illegal. And you know that. But it's illegal. So you can get penalized for doing anything else, whether you use your head, use a forearm, use your elbow, throwing a punch, It's illegal, and you can get penalized. You can't
You're
get
right.
penalized for doing
yes,
that.
You can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
If a, you tell me,
in the UFC, in the UFC and in certain other organizations, if a player has one hand down on the mat, touching the surface, you are not allowed to strike that player in the head or in the face.
Well, that's
you are not
different.
Allowed to throw knees. You are not allowed to hit in the groin. You are not allowed to manipulate the joints. You are not allowed to scratch. You are not allowed to bite. You cannot grab onto the cage. You cannot manipulate the individual to the point. Well, yeah, you can, but you can't appendages as far as fingers, eyes, and stuff like that. You can't.
Well, no, I'm talking about laying a blow on somebody. I'm talking
yeah,
about laying a blow. Wait a minute. We're talking about laying a blow on somebody other than the groin area. Laying a blow on somebody is legal. Am I right about that?
As far
laying
as
a blow, laying a blow, whether it was your elbows, forearm, your fist, your leg, your knee, is it not legal?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What's
but
legal?
In certain situations,
wait a minute.
It is illegal.
Well, I understand that, but
it,
for the most part, it's legal. In boxing, from the waist up is legal. Anything else that you use besides your fist is illegal. Illegal. Some guys do it. Yes, you're right, but it's illegal, and they can get penalized for it. There's a big difference between UFC or MMA and boxing. You have to hit
there
the
is,
person.
There is.
Big difference.
There's a big difference. But what I'm trying to get to is the similarity of their business practices. Now, we can debate all day, and I'm quite sure we can.
We can. We've done it before.
Yeah. I know. Uh-huh. We can debate all day about, you know, your like for boxing and my like for mixed martial arts. The point is the sport of mixed martial arts has grown to the point that it's in a national spotlight, and it's a rival of boxing.
Well, let me ask you this. You just named something, and I have to beg to differ with you. You think wrestling is a sport?
Wrestling? Are you talking about professional wrestling? Are you talking about Greco-Roman?
No, professional wrestling. Is that a sport?
Professional wrestling is widely known as not being a sport. It is an athletic, entertainment, I guess, story, or whatever the case may be. It's
okay.
It's a scripted story with athletes in it. It's not a...
a sport. So why
it's not
would
recognized
I,
as a sport.
Why would I consider MMA or UFC... whatever way you want to call them, but mixed martial arts, a sport.
Because it is not scripted, one. It is an athletic event, two. It comprises competition between two athletes to achieve a supremacy of some sort.
Well, now doesn't the head, I forget his name, doesn't his head manipulate who the matches go to and for the most part, manipulates who's going to be the champ?
No. Dana White is president, and they have a matchmaker, just like in boxing. I mean, we can do the same thing for boxing. Boxing does the same thing with their manipulation of opponents. If you're saying that a fighter will fight a certain type of fighter to maintain their title in UFC, in the UFC? No, but I can see it going that way. In Strikeforce, before the UFC or Zuffa bought them, the owner was attempting to promote a certain fighter and make him viable, in turn generating money instead of the integrity of the sport.
You don't think Dana White does that?
No. I think Dana White and Zuffa, well, to this point, I don't think Dana White has done it. Let me clarify. I think that Dana White, he lets guys go in there, and he says, look, if you're going to give a boring fight, that's fine if you win. If you give an exciting fight and you give your all into it and you win, that'll help you move up in the rankings. You'll win, you'll move up in the rankings, but if you're an exciting fighter that people want to come and see, you'll move up. Now, is that a manipulation?
Absolutely.
You can say it is. You can
absolutely
say it is. However, it is not a scripted fight. It's not a scripted meaning.
Wait a minute. That is scripted, because if a guy doesn't more or less do what he's insinuating, he's scripting the way that guy's going to perform in a particular fight. He's scripting it. Huh?
No, I'll tell you this. Brian Bisbane, he's a British fighter who came
mm-hmm.
over and won the Ultimate Fighter some
mm-hmm.
years ago. Okay? He. This is his beef right now.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he's won X amount of fights. He wants a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Bisbane is an excellent fighter. He gives you 110% whether he boxes, whether he takes you to the ground, or whatever. But Brian Bisbane is a fighter that does not draw a major market here in the States. In Europe, he draws money because he's British. So what happens is Brian Bisbane has fought, and I think he's won like three of his last four, and he's won two of them convincingly. So he's fighting now to see if he gets a title shot. He's been in the business for some time, and he's amassed a very good record. It's just that at the beginning, he wasn't as good as he thought he was, and he didn't get the title shot. I think he got one title shot, and he got knocked out. And then he had to work his way back up, but he hasn't gotten back to that level until recently. That's been a couple of years. Because his division is full of guys that are exciting and have taken on the top names and defeated them convincingly, and that therefore they got their title shot. So, for instance, I'll tell you like this. Brian Bisbane fought a guy, can't remember his name right now, but he fought a guy that was a second-tier fighter, right? Brian Bisbane was expected to dispatch this guy quickly. Brian Bisbane went the distance with this guy and barely beat him. So, when he barely beat him, that said, okay, well, look, you won, but am I going to put you in there with the champion and get destroyed? No, when you can barely beat this second-tier guy? No. So you could say it's a manipulation that way, but the outcome of a fight is not manipulated. In boxing, it's been proven where judges have been paid off, where judges have totally screwed up and given a fight to somebody that clearly didn't deserve it, where commissioners have been paid off and scripted things to come out a certain way. We've seen fighters go down off of glancing blows just so they can get a payday and, you know, not have to fight this guy or that
mm-hmm.
guy.
Mm-hmm.
In boxing, not in UFC, that hasn't happened. So, you know, the difference between the two is right. It's major. But pro wrestling is nowhere near the same as mixed martial arts. Nowhere near the same. You have fighters that want to fight in both arenas, though. Performers, they both perform. And in wrestling, you have guys giving their bodies every night, you know, performing for the audience. You know, they're dealing with concussions. But the outcome of the fight is known. They don't say, all right, look, you're going to go out there and you're going to get hit with a power driver and you're going to get counted 1, 2, 3. That's wrestling. They'll tell you, I don't care how you do it, you're going to fight for 5 minutes, 7 minutes, or whatever it is, and at the end, you're going to let Rick Steiner hit his signature move, and then that's it. In MMA, no. You go in there, the fight can last 8 seconds, 3 seconds, working up, it can last 25 minutes. but the outcome is never rigged or scripted. So that's somewhat of an insult to MMA folks. Well, we got a call from the 301 that has to say something about this, apparently, so we're going to let them on, all right?
Sure, no problem. Go right ahead.
Caller from the 301, that's the Maryland area. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. Please state your name and what it is you have to say.
You need to stop trying to promote like MMA is like that. MMA ain't like that. MMA ain't like that.
As soon as you said 301, I knew who was calling it.
I'm so sick and tired of this dude arguing about. He always trying to promote MMA like it's like that. Don't nobody care about no dang on MMA, but Drunk Red does. Nobody don't care about that, man.
I tell you what,
stop
man.
Trying to prop that thing up like it's like that. Boxing
let
is
me,
a beautiful
let me
sport.
Let me introduce you first. Let me introduce you, ladies and gentlemen. On the line is one of the hosts of one of our shows, No Chaser, Matt Williams. He is our resident conservative, not conservative. He ain't black enough, but he's black. Mac Attack doing his
wow.
Go ahead, Too Sweet. Don't start.
Oh!
I'm going to go back to my pocket, baby.
Hey, Matt, I control the switchboard today.
Hey, look, I can still go back and get that link. I got that link, baby. I will put that on my show. You better leave me alone. I will put a nice extra in that joint.
Okay, here's the deal. And I want to ask the question of you. I don't know if you heard the previous question.
No, I was listening for a while to that garbage you was trying to put up. Let me make my point, though. The reason why I called in was just to tell you this. I understand MMA is cool. I understand what you're saying. But if you're trying to tell me that somehow MMA is better than boxing and all that, look, man, boxing has been around over 100 years. They've been talking about the demise of it. Is there dirt? Is there dirt in it? Yeah. Is it what you said where you're talking about, like, paying judges off and all that? Yeah, sure. Trust me, MMA hang around long enough, and as long as it's on that betting line, you can best believe it's going to happen in MMA, too.
Well,
it's just
going
to take
about.
A while. So
that's
all
what I'm
saying
about. I don't
to
want
you,
it to go that route, though.
It's going to go that route.
But see, Matt,
let me
that's
ask you this.
Question.
Let me ask you this. Is MMA, I've been to Vegas. Is MMA on do they have a line on MMA?
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
then stop trying to front like boxing is worse and MMA ain't, because MMA is going that way. Trust
now,
me.
Listen,
MMA is going the way of Don King.
Well, this is the question I have. And I asked Jerry, he really doesn't care, but the question is this. With Strikeforce Closing, which was owned by Zuffa, who is the parent company of UFC, you know, competition. The only real competition out there is Bellator. And I was explaining to Jerry earlier how there's a flaw with Bellator because a fighter can fight one time in a year, and that's it, you know, which kind of sucks. But with limited competition, the monopoly becomes apparent, and they can put the fights out that they want to put out, and the guy that works his way up in the ranks won't get the opportunity to fight for the title because it's always the big mouth guy that has an issue with the champion getting a fight, as opposed to the guy that worked his way up to the number one contender spot getting the title shot. And that's what happened in boxing, in my opinion. And now Mayweather has really nobody to fight. He's their bell cow. You know, Pacquiao, I love him, but he's not ready. I mean, that was apparent.
He's still asleep.
Well, whatever.
Hold on for a second. Hey! Can y'all wake up that guy?
You know
that guy, right? The Filipino. Wake him up.
Hey, shut up.
Sorry about that. My bad. I'm sorry about that.
Anyway, man.
Wake him up. Wake him. Put some smelling salts.
Come on, man.
He's been sleeping over too much.
The point is this. Boxing, as you said, it's been around for 100 years, correct? It's been around longer than
that,
actually. But the difference is right now, you can't find a major card in boxing that doesn't promote Mayweather as a headliner because there aren't too many big names out there that people will go see and fight. In the UFC, you have several. But if you get to that point where you're saying, okay, and I used to announce it with Jerry, the the number 10 guy spouts off it as a champion, and, you know, he bypasses, you know, 9 through 1 because he's got a beast, and that's the fight that people want to see. It's going to happen, and then it's going to be like, okay, well, what about old boy that, you know, been fighting for like 17 years, never got a title shot. He might not be the most exciting fighter, but he's a winner. That's the problem I see happening in UFC if it goes the route that boxing will.
Well,
and I don't want that to happen.
But what you gotta understand is though, and I've been watching boxing a long time, and I can tell you this, what I've never seen, and maybe Jerry can, maybe Jerry knows, but I've never seen in boxing a guy have 30, 40, 50 fights and beating top rank opponents and doesn't have a big mouth, but doesn't get a shot. It just don't work that way.
Right.
You know, my thing.
Yes,
huh?
Does.
Yes, no, it doesn't.
Does.
Name one.
Okay. We can
name
go
one.
To, wait a minute. Hold on. We can go to Mickey Ward. Mickey Ward, he won a lot of daggone fights.
Sure.
He was a warrior. His big fight, you know, his big money fights, when
uh-huh.
he fought Gotti. When he fought Gotti in that trilogy,
yeah.
That's when
right.
Mickey Ward got paid.
Right. Right.
And Mickey Ward, he won a lot of fights. He got
right.
one title shot. One
right.
in his entire career.
Okay.
And he won a bunch of fights. So let me ask you this question.
So whose fault is that?
Whose fault is that? That was the
yeah.
promotion.
Thank
that was
you.
The promoter.
So that
the
has nothing to do. That has nothing to do. See, that's what I'm saying. You're blaming boxing as an industry and saying it's their fault. And I'm saying, dude, you can change promoters. As far as I'm concerned, this ain't Django. You ain't no slave. So I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can move to another promoter or whatever. So I'm saying, this is what I don't like about when people say this stuff is that they always try to throw these black eyes at boxing, but they act like these people are indigent servants. Like Slim, if I choose the wrong agent and I get smoked,
well,
that's on me. Unless they steal from me or take from me. So what I'm saying to you is Mickey Ward. Yeah, I understand. I know who Mickey Ward is. Yeah, and he got a shot. But guess what? Mickey Ward should have left his people that was putting him in and do it. People do it now today. In fact,
nah.
To be honest with you, I'll be honest with you. I will agree on one thing. I personally, I believe I would. If I were a boxer today, I would go the route of Mayweather. I would go the route of yeah, I would do it myself. I'd be my own boss.
Well,
I wouldn't promote anybody else.
But Mac, the difference in that is, I wanted to get Jerry's info on this, input on this too, and I really didn't want to take up this much time, but I'm glad you called in. You have rankings in all these different federations, the WBO,
mm-hmm.
the IBO, the IBF.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with the promoters. That has nothing to do
mm-hmm.
with the manager of the boxer. That has to do with those
mm-hmm.
federations. They're
mm-hmm.
the ones that rank 1, 2, 3, 4 and decide, okay, you know what, I
mm-hmm.
want to get this guy a title shot. The manager
mm-hmm.
can scream up and down all day
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
how good his boxer is. The promoter can scream up and down all day how good his boxer is. But
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, if the IBF
mm-hmm.
says, you know what, he's a boring fighter. I don't
mm-hmm.
want him fighting Floyd for the IBF title because
mm-hmm.
it's not going to
mm-hmm.
draw money. That
okay.
has nothing to do with the boxer other than his style. So the boxer can't change his style. He can change his style to accommodate, you know, the IBF or the WBO,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
he might not be successful at it as he was with his clamshell defense or his, you know, southpaw stance. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So that has something to do with the federation,
but
not the boxer and his
family. I agree with some of that, but I guess what I'm saying is, to me, there are two things that count on moving up rankings and getting it. It's one, you have to your opponent, the quality opponent you take on.
Correct. Correct.
And the second thing is styles make fights.
Correct.
So what I'm saying to you is I agree with some of what you're saying, but what I'm saying is, yes, you're right changing the style. But we also, but let's be honest, and Jerry can tell you this, you can sit and watch a guy fight and look at him and go, okay, he beat him, but that guy was a bum. He can't beat no Mayweather.
Correct.
It ain't
Correct.
Stupid. So why would I make that fight? All that's gonna do is put more money in his pocket, in Mayweather's pocket, free money. And the thing about 9 times out of 10, a guy like Mayweather, is not really going to want to fight that guy unless he's got a belt or unless he's a champion or something. Because if you notice, most of the time in boxing, if you notice, that's why people try to disparage, you know, people, it always makes me laugh when people say, you know, Mayweather ducks everybody, and I'm like, Slim, go on Wikipedia and go look at the list of the dudes he won, he beat. This dude beat dudes with belts, whether they were good or not. I mean, so what I'm saying, I knew for a fact, like, for instance, what's the boy's name that he knocked out? Not Ortiz, the other one, the guy from Britain.
Ricky Hatton.
Right. Ricky Hatton was beating the crap out of everybody. But
yeah,
I knew he wasn't going to beat no Mayweather. I knew that.
Yeah.
I was like, Slim, he runs up and attacks too much. He's going to get his head knocked off.
You just said, style
right.
Makes fights. He was a slugger.
But he had a belt, and he was undefeated.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of fights. So if that was not that wasn't a cowpunch thing. So I guess what I'm trying to say to you is that I understand your problem with boxing to a certain extent. The payoffs and all that stuff, that's fine. That's the nature of the business. That ain't going to never change. It's always going to be some mess. But what you do get out of it is you do get excited in good fights. I just personally, this is me personally. It's just like a basketball player. You know, boxing is a little different. We all sit and, fans sit and say, I want to see this guy fight this guy, and this guy fight this guy. And then people get pissed off because they want to see certain fights, and if they don't, they get pissed off and they get mad. But when it really comes down to it, honestly, just between all of us here, man, this is this guy's career. And a guy's not going to take but so much risk. And guess what? I want, some people want high risk and a big reward. Some people want low risk and get a high reward. And here's my thing. I don't have a problem with that because, like Mayweather said, I don't know where I found it. It was on YouTube where he said, look, this is my career. Everybody else is going to be running around years from now saying, man, he fought everybody. Man, he did this, this, and this. He said, when I'm sitting in a wheelchair retarded, ain't nobody going to care. And he was like, if I sit around and I'm hurt, look at Muhammad Ali.
You're right.
Regard it. Love him. Hard nosed, good guy. But guess what? Look at how he talk now. Well, he's still alert, the mind working, but that's what I'm saying. But I remember in the 70s when people were saying that Muhammad Ali didn't fight this guy, didn't fight that guy, or he was this and the same thing. And then guess what? He took those fights. And now look at him today. So what I'm saying is I don't fault boxers for fighting once a year, twice a year. Look at what football players are. They play every season, and look at what they're doing with their brain. And these guys are getting hit with no helmet. So, I'm for a boxer doing what's best for his career. You do what's best for your career because you're the one in there taking the punches. It's easy for me to say I want to see these two guys fight right here because I'm not in it. So what I'm saying is I agree with you on certain points. But I don't believe MMA is any better than boxing. That's just me. I just don't believe.
I understand, and that's what I was trying to bring up to Jerry. And you brought up a good point with Ricky Hatton, and we were just talking about Michael the Count Bisbane, who is also British, who also dominates in Europe. And that's what
mm-hmm.
I was trying to get the point across,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
Ricky Hatton, which, and I'm glad you brought him up, he dominated in Europe. Dominated. His first fight in America was against Floyd, and he got knocked out, you know, or he got stopped.
But he got he did beat some good opponents on the way up. They weren't all punching bags or tin cans.
No,
I just want to bring up that point. He
was
beating some champions.
In Europe. It was mainly Europe-based boxers. And that's
mm-hmm.
the same issue with Michael the Count Bisbane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's beaten a lot of folks in Europe. And,
mm-hmm.
and he headlines shows in Europe and in Britain. But when you come to the States, he's not really well known. So his title
mm-hmm.
shot in the UFC isn't forthcoming because he would not match well up against John Jones. John Jones is a well-rounded fighter who can
mm-hmm.
do pretty much twice the amount of stuff that Bisbane does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bisbane has a name. He has
mm-hmm.
a name. But the style of that fight would be elbow-elbow, spinning back fist, high knee, either submission or knockout for John
mm-hmm.
Jones. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's how that fight would go. But,
which
I want to jump off of this.
Which doesn't interest me in a bit.
Which is fine. Which is fine.
Elbows and knees and kicking and, come on.
But
yeah,
that's
what I said. I'm going to tell you this. You probably won't like it, but I've always said this. MMA is like a fight after school fight in the alley, fight in the NBA. Somebody gonna get a lucky punch. It's no to me. I understand people know jujitsu and all that kind of stuff, but to me, it just looks like when you go into every time I see the fight, I go like, I don't care how good these are. All you need is one guy to get one lucky punch, one lucky kick. He's down. He'll beat the hell out of him. The game thing will be over. I mean, that's just the way I see it. It's like
boxing.
A back alley fight. After
I mean, same thing in boxing. One lucky punch, and the guy's out.
No, but boxing is a skill.
We're going to talk about this probably at a later date, but I got to get to football and hockey and the RGT versus Russell Wilson thing, and I know you'll enjoy that. Here, sorry I cursed. I didn't mean to curse, but you just bring it out of me. All right, here's the deal. I'm going to talk about the NHL.
It's always the antagonistic guy's fault. I know.
It always is your fault, Mr. Antagonizer.
The deal
is this. The NHL is back. Who suffered, who won, and was it worth it? I mean, here's my opinion. They went on strike, or the owners locked them out maybe, 5-6 years ago. Okay, the players got huge contracts. Now they're back. Players have even more money. The owners are dying, literally dying. And I'm kind of on the side of the owners in this situation. But the fans lose out. Hockey isn't that big of a sport that it can sustain too many lockouts, in my opinion. Luckily, basketball goes on at the same time. But to me, I think the players and the owners need to just freaking say 50-50, call it a day, and let the sport grow some more. Just my opinion. Because in America, it's not the biggest sport in the world. Canada and in Europe, because it's freaking cold and ice every daggone where. But I'm not a big fan of hockey. Go ahead, Jerry.
1994-95, I think that was the first one. 2004-2005 was the second one, where they took 27% away from the players in salary cap for one, and owners said it wouldn't happen again. And in 2012, going into 2013, the owners did it again, decided to lock the players out. A growing trend. I talked about this a week ago. A growing trend of these owners to lock the players out, to try to put a stranglehold on the union. And I know Mac is not a union guy, but that's okay. But I felt that, just like you said, Vic, the NHL is not one of the sports that can be taking these hits, these lockouts, over and over and over again, and be able to be viable and sustain itself. Even though they got a 10-year contract with an 8-year option to revisit the contract, I see this happen again with the NHL, because I think the owners, for some reason, think this is the best way to bargain versus doing collective bargaining in a way other than locking the players out and then going that route.
We just lost Mac. So he'll probably be back.
But you know, I don't agree with the way this was handled, and it's a growing trend with all these sports, major sports, hockey, football, and basketball. Three of the major four sports have done this. And because baseball is so powerful, their union is so powerful, they really can't do it in that. But this is one of the sports that can least afford to do this, and they did it.
And you know, the 27% that they took was kind of bad. But again, I say this. You got Alex Ovechkin, great player, making $126, $127 million. Several players on a team making $10 million or so. This takes me back to the NBA lockout, where the average NBA player was making like $2 to $3 million. And, you know, I understand their expenses. I understand there's a lifestyle. But just like Alfred Morris, he still drives his little Honda Sonata or whatever it is and keeps himself grounded. you have a lot of money, do what you can with the money you have and multiply it. And my the way I feel about it is this. Hockey is a good sport for those that like it. It is not a sport that can transcend a nation or a people. Okay? That's why it's number four of the big four. Mm-hmm. You know, soccer is pretty much taking over, in America that is, the hearts and minds of people over hockey. Soccer worldwide is the number one sport.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But you know why that is, though.
Why?
In America, why soccer took over.
Because the Latino community?
Yeah, because half the people who play it live here now.
Oh, stop.
But no, I'm being serious. Okay, hold on. You think that's I didn't mean that as a racial thing. What I'm saying is, okay, tell you what. Next time the World Cup come around, walk into any bars and any places while them games going on during the day and see how many people you find in there.
I get you, and I agree with you. And I want to clarify because I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And in a way, I agree with you because it's not just a Latino sport. You have the Africans, you have the Europeans.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They're moving. That's what I said. They're moving here. I wasn't talking about just Hispanics. I was talking about because especially here in D.C., it's a transient area. I mean,
yeah.
I got a park right next to my – I have an empty school park, an elementary school that has a big old park out here next to my house. And all summer, every night, 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock on the dot, all the Hispanics, Africans down here on this field, and they place and they get all together, come down here, drive their cars, get all in my dang parking lot, take up all the spots, and go out there and play soccer. And that's what they do. So that's why it's taking over in this country, because you got an audience for it here. If you notice, most of the hockey audience is either in Canada or Boston, places where it's cold or they don't have so-called football team. They don't have a football team or a baseball team, or they have one or the other, but that's pretty much what they do. And, I mean, this is what you get. So, you know, did anybody care about the hockey, you know, hockey not coming around? I didn't. I loved hockey. I grew up in Detroit, hockey town, right across from Canada. Did I grow up watching hockey? Yeah. Do I love it? Yes, I do. Did I miss it? Hell no. If it was going on, I'll watch it. But if it's not here, I wasn't worrying about it. It wasn't like football. Football was gone. We was about to have a nationwide riot.
You're right.
I mean, if they didn't get together.
Well, that's the point. That's the point I was trying to make, that these guys – I mean, you've got some billionaires playing hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got some quadruple billionaires owning the teams. But at the same time, the sport needs to grow to the point where it becomes a prominent sport again in the nation. Will it ever be? I don't think it will.
No, I don't think it will. I think it will be when – I'll tell you what will happen. It will be – first of all, hockey needs to be in the inner city. It needs to be in other places, and it needs to be in other countries. For instance, basketball is what it is because they have all nations participating in the NBA. Now that you have, it didn't be a global game. It used to be just an American game. Hockey is a global game, but it's not inclusive of the inner city kids. It's not inclusive of in the poor African nations or other. What I'm trying to say is that if you let more of the, in the same way soccer has everybody internationally in it, you don't see that many Hispanic players in hockey. You don't see African Americans in hockey, not very many. You don't see Africans. You don't see Indians. You don't see Orientals. That's why it doesn't, because what makes a sport popular to me is that it has to have a draw. And the main thing, the draw, I mean, look at how many people loved, look at how good Lin is doing in Houston. Why? Because it has a big Korean or whatever Asian following, and that's what draws them. That's money that you get from somewhere else. That's why that's why America last year, the NBA, embraced his success and like any other business, took advantage of it. So what I'm saying is hockey's problem is everybody comes from Russia, Croatia, and Canada, and very few of them come from the inner city from here. Because you don't tell me remember, golf is being watched by black folks, which was never happened before until Tiger Woods came along. Because when I was growing up, it was, what's his name? Calvin, I can't remember the golfer's name. There was one black golfer I knew of that was playing golf, Calvin Peet. And he was okay, but he wasn't no Tiger Woods. But now that you got a black guy dominating the sport, now more black people are taking golf, playing golf, drawing it in.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that's the key to hockey growing. They've never said that, but if I were in a boardroom with them, I would tell them, you're idiots. You're not promoting the game in places where it can become popular. You know,
the marketing for the sport is geared toward only one segment of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't black people or Latino people playing hockey. It's just there's not a punish. I can remember, this is the last thing I want to talk about NHL because we really got to get to football.
Okay.
But, the one black, I think it's Martin Brashear, if I'm not mistaken, played for Ottawa, where there was a racial slur said to him, and someone tried to really hurt him on the rink at one point. And he became this big star because he was good, but they focused on the fact that he was black. You know, and then he came to the Capitals, and he was a good player, but he wasn't a star player. I think, you know, if we can transcend a sport and not think about a color and just market it to the kids. I mean, field hockey was a good thing, you know, because it brought more people to lacrosse than it did field hockey. Hockey, in my opinion. But, like Jim Brown played lacrosse. That was his first love. Football paid him, but he loved lacrosse. There aren't that many black people playing lacrosse.
No.
I mean, especially during his era, no. But he loved lacrosse. But
if I'm not mistaken, he was an All-American and lacrosse player.
Yes, he was in Syracuse. And you know, I really want to get more into this, but we've got tons of football stuff to talk about. So I'm glad you called, Matt. We got to do a different show. Next week's my anniversary, so y'all know I'm
happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. That's next week.
I'm going to say it early because I probably won't talk to you till next week, but happy anniversary.
Appreciate you. All right. But Jeremy's giving you a heads up on that. I'm going to try to do the show, but you're going to probably give me why you doing the show.
No problem. I'll rack up some numbers. No problem.
We'll see. Did you play this Carmelo Anthony soundbite? Yesterday.
Which
or
you one?
Save it for tomorrow.
No. I put. Was it how long is it?
121.
Yeah, I did play it, but I mean you could play it again. I mean, it, you know.
What is
let's
it?
Let's get the football. Let's get the football because I think Lala does say like Honey Nut Cheerios. She looked like it anyway. But
You know what?
Let's move on. Pete Carroll, the famed coach of the Seattle Seahawks, former USC head coach, former Patriots head coach, Jets, Browns, wherever else he coached. He says, you know, Russell Wilson has stepped up and he's been what the team needed.
What surprises me is his amazing consistency just in the way he approaches everything and the way he handles everything. He has just not wavered for a step at any time, and he continues to forge on and study his tail off and get ready and have one day after another in the practice field that's impressive. And so it's the consistency that it just knocks you out.
So this is my question. And a couple of weeks ago, and everybody knows I'm a diehard Redskins fan. I love him to death, and I love RG3. So a couple of weeks ago, Jerry, you and my cousin jumped on me, and I think Black jumped in on it too, and said, you know, I was crazy because I said that Russell Wilson right now is a better quarterback than RG3, and I also said that he should be considered for Rookie of the Year. Now, here's the question. I know Russell Wilson didn't win the division, his division title, like RG3 did. Neither did Andrew Luck. I know that Russell Wilson has the same record as RG3, but Russell Wilson has advanced his team in the playoffs. If, and I don't think it's going to happen, but if Russell Wilson takes the Seattle Seahawks to the NFC Championship and beyond, does he win Rookie of the Year award, or does he win it anyway, whether he takes them there or not? I want to get both of you guys input on that. And I'll start with you, Jerry.
No. The Rookie of the Year award is for the regular season, not the regular season in the playoffs. So RG3 was a better quarterback, even though Russell Wilson came on late. RG3 was a better quarterback for the overall season versus Russell Wilson, and that's why I think he would win it. But Russell Wilson is definitely in the running. I never said he wasn't. I just think he didn't have a better overall season.
Okay.
Well, I'll put it like this. Ain't nothing Russell Wilson could do, Luck could do. I don't care what they did. They're going to give that award to them, RG3. RG3, and y'all ain't going to like this, but I'm going to be honest. This is it. No chaser. I'm going to tell you now. RG3 is the equivalent of Obama. He is going to win it.
Wait, let me
give you an example.
I want to hear this.
Somebody got fired for saying stuff about him that I didn't think was that bad, but he got fired. He deserved it.
He probably shouldn't.
It wasn't smart to say it, but he got fired. Just like they did for Lynn last year. When a guy is extremely popular as RG3 is in this town, I'm telling you, man, this dude is going to get every break. I mean, do you hear every Sunday? I have never seen a rookie come into a league and be under the microscope. They want to hear what he has to say. If he said, "I farted last night," they will make a special out of it. These people love RG3. The NFL loves RG3. And don't be surprised. They're doing everything they can to market this, to push him to be the next face of this league, just like Brady is. I'm telling you. So what I'm saying to you is it didn't matter what anybody was going to do. The fact of the things that he did, he's going to get that Rookie of the Year award. But I'm telling you, in a few years, I think the people who don't like, I think it's going to be a situation. Just remember I said this first. I believe RG3 is going to be a very promoted, pushed, and liked guy in the NFL, but I also think he's going to be like Brady. He's going to be a guy who's praised by the commentators and by the NFL as the best, but he'll be hated just as much as Brady is in other corners that's not outside of New England or outside of Washington. It's going to make him sick. I'm telling you, I see it coming. I'm like,
I agree with you because
you
he has
fire,
personality.
Yeah, when you fire a guy, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. RG3 doesn't deserve the hype. But what I'm saying is, let me give you another parallel. It's like LeBron. LeBron got all this hype before he did anything. RG3 did a lot, but he ain't really done nothing. It's only his rookie year. But you're heaping all this on him, and I'm telling you, and here's another fearless prediction. Remember this? I told you guys this, too. Next year, his ass won't be doing what he did this year. I can promise you that. And when them defenses start catching on to that, because the one thing I know is everybody looks great in the rookie year because you catch them off guard. Next year, everybody's going to know what's coming from RG3. So they're going to know how to defense it. And then he's gonna have to work for it. Not just like Vic did. Remember what everybody was saying about Vic? Oh my God, he's incredible. He's running. He's just doing this. Then what happened? Second year, third year. Same thing happened with Slash in Pittsburgh. Same thing.
Well, I tell you what, because you brought up Michael Vick, which is a parallel to RG3. I see Vic isn't as accurate as RG3, but RG3 isn't that accurate of a quarterback, in my opinion. I think Russell Wilson is a better passing quarterback, more cerebral.
I think they're even.
I'll say this. Russell Wilson to me is a mixture of Andrew Luck and RG3. I think he really is. He's very cerebral, but he's also athletic enough to make plays with his legs and outside of the pocket. As far as the Robert Parker thing, he apologized. He didn't make the comment again.
Mm-hmm.
He still fired him. that goes with the territory, like you said.
You can't say the guy's a cornball, and his girlfriend's white. He's a Republican, and get away with it on TV. Come on, man.
No, you can't.
I know he's
Come
not
on.
Stephen A. Smith. They canned Stephen A. Smith a while ago for doing something like that when he came on our show. Remember when he came on the show a couple of years ago and said he was in the process of doing a new show? We didn't know what it was, but it ended up being First Take. Him as Dick Bayless. But they did the same thing to him. They let him go for a year or so, brought him back, and just as controversial as ever. He's on his P's and Q's, though, doing his thing with Skip Bayless, but he's still outspoken. He's just not as outspoken. Now, Rob Parker, different situation. He shouldn't have said those types of things on there. He got too comfortable. He got way too comfortable in where he was and what he was doing and let some of his inner city come out and say some of those things he thought. And, yes, there are people out there, black, white, or whatever, that feel the same way that he does. But on that situation and that story, he can't do that. If he had his own show on Sirius, okay, fine. But that wasn't Sirius Radio.
I think if he had said it about a guy who wasn't as popular, I think he would have got away with it.
Because a black man talking about another black man,
you couldn't call it racist. Nobody would have found any fault with it. But when you say it about a guy, and the people start echoing and start blowing your phone place up, your phone joint up, what do you expect?
Let me put it this way.
Rob Parker, I don't know why you said it in the first place, but just think about if the guy who said it wasn't Rob Parker, who's the same race as RG3, if he was someone other than black saying that. They would have been all over him saying he was a racist and all that.
And he needs to go. Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. Rob Parker was black, but he made a racist remark about RG3. So regardless of what color he was, he made a racist remark about RG3, and he got what, in my opinion, he got what he deserved.
Why is it? What's racist about it? Let me ask you that.
Hold on, Jerry.
If you're going to respond, you got 2 minutes because we got
to. I'm sorry. We got to move on to another topic.
But okay. No, you're fine. It's good debate, but I want to keep it on track because we only have 15 minutes of live air. Go ahead, Jerry.
This is what he said. He said he wears cornrows. He's a cornball because he's not what they consider in quotations marks a typical black guy.
Mm-hmm.
His fiance is white, and he's a Republican. Come on. Well, I mean, what did he say was so wrong?
Here's what I'm saying. I agree with you. You can't say it. C-A-N-T. You can't say it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, but it's not racist what he said. It's the truth. That's not racist.
Mac. He said it because he's married to a white girl. I mean, not married, but his fiance is a white girl, and
right.
He's a Republican. Like, all black guys are supposed to be Democratic, and he's a Republican. So he was more or less calling him a black white guy, or a white black
guy.
And
what's wrong with marrying a white girl and all those?
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
It was a racial undertone to what he said, whether he meant to be racist
or
not.
No, I just think it was
a racial undertone.
I just think it was a stupid comment. I don't call it racist.
Wow.
I think people in this country, honestly, I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to shut up. I just think in this country, black people don't really know what racist is. Some people don't. They call things racist that ain't. I'm just putting it out there.
Well, it was offensive. It was very offensive.
I agree. I agree with that.
Well, let's we're going to table this because we got 60 minutes left, and I want to jump on the games now. But this is a very interesting topic. I hope you guys talk about it on No Chaser next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about them Texans, okay? I love the Texans. I don't know what's going to happen with the Texans. But
you coward.
I got them winning the game, but here's Connor Barwin from the Texans taking the next step.
I think it's very real to us. Nobody wants to feel like they're in the same place every single year. in any career. And obviously, like you said, we were at the exact same point last year. You know, and we don't want to end the year the same way we did last year. So this is a huge game for us, just moving forward and, you know, continuing to progress as an organization.
And here's my prediction. I predict that Houston will go to the Boston today and meet up on the Patriots via Arian Foster and the run game. And Arian Foster should get the ball, between he and Tate, should get the ball 30 times or more to keep Tom Brady off the field and to set up the play-action pass. J.J. Watt and the rest of that defensive lineup will be fresh, and they'll be able to try and contain Gronkowski and the rest of those guys and with the Patriots. Jerry, this is your team. I give you first dibs, and I'm going to let Matt real quickly, guys, talk about this. And,
well, I totally agree. I think that's the formula. To be able to keep the ball away from that offense, you got to run the ball. And who better to do that is the Houston Texans, who run the ball probably more than most teams in the NFL. And then use play action against a not too good pass defense, meaning the Patriots. So I think, like you said, between Ben Tate and Arian Foster, they're going to run the ball a lot. I understand that, or people should understand that the Patriots' best defense is against the run, but I think they can be run on and take time off the clock. You got to score touchdowns against the Patriots, but I do like my Texans to prevail in this game. It's not going to be easy playing up in Foxborough, but I think they can do it.
I have one word. Vince Wilfork.
That's two words.
It don't matter. It's all one word because he's so big. It's all one word. I think Houston's going to try to run, but I think they're going to stop the run. I don't think you can run on them. That Wolfberg is big dude, man, and he stops a lot of stuff in the middle. I don't think it's going to be easy as they think. I don't think it's going to be the romp that it was a few weeks back. But I still got the Patriots winning it because here's the other news flash is that the Patriots have now everybody back. That last game they did. Now everybody's back and everybody's healthy, especially the tight ends. And I just think they're gonna be precise and precision. And I think they're gonna do what they're gonna do. I think Houston will try to run it and force it and do whatever they got to do with it. But I think what it's gonna do is it's gonna come down to a point where it's gonna be three and out, three and out, three and out, and then they're gonna have to start throwing. And then that's when the floodgates open. That's what I think. But I mean, and I'm not saying that because of Jerry. I'm just saying that because I really believe that. Now, can I be proven wrong? Sure. But I just don't think with that line, that defensive line they got, especially with that guy Wolford, I've seen him stop too many runs. I've seen him stop it, put his arm out, put his mitt up, knock a guy down, push a guy back. I just think, I just think it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be easy as you guys say it is.
I agree with you on that fact because Wolford reminds me of a player you guys might remember, Sam Adams.
Shoot, how about B.J. Raji?
Well, B.J. Raji is
How about Noti Halata, whatever his name is.
Lodi Anana.
Yeah.
Well, I don't look at him like that because those are speed guys with, if you can call it defensive tackle, speed guy. They're more, to me, like Warren Sapp. But Wolford is like Sam Adams. Big, takes two people to block him. You just can't put the center or one person on him. You need more than one person to cover him.
Have you ever seen this guy's feet? He's very fast and quick for that being that big.
I know, but what I'm saying is the girth. The girth of this man.
That's
is
true.
Huge. Where if he lines up in a gap,
mm-hmm.
the center cannot have one arm on him, and the guard cannot have the other guard.
They're
going to need all four arms to block this guy.
Right.
Not going to set somebody up. However,
what I'm saying is the girth is not. But what I'm saying is the girth is not really. The girth is one problem. But if he didn't have his feet and the speed with
right.
his fast feet, he would. It wouldn't matter. He'd be just like, okay,
right.
he can push me, but
You're right. I mean, I agree. He's very quick with his feet, but his sheer size helps him where he can just push him back and then jump inside the gap. And make the tackle, but I think they're going to run the ball effectively against
New England. I really think they are. Let's move on. We got 2 minutes left of live air. I want to play this Alfred Morris soundbite. I'll probably do it in overtime because I want to talk a little bit more about Archie 3. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers and those 49ers. Here's Aaron Rodgers on fame, the 49ers.
Not much, I don't think. I mean, we'll still look at that film and, you know, evaluate it, but two different teams, I think. We're a different offense. They're playing a little differently on defense, at least recently. We've had some injuries. They've had some injuries. Teams are establishing their identity. You know, the first weeks of the season, we were still trying to figure out what kind of offense we wanted to be.
In the beginning, well, the middle of the season, like Roger said, 49ers went to Green Bay and put a wampum stompum on the Packers. Of course, Charles Woodson didn't play. Matthews was nicked up, but they still could not stop the run. Conversely, they had Cedric Benson in at running back and could run the ball. Benson then got hurt. Now they have this young cat running the ball for Green Bay, and he's pretty daggone good. But I don't think he's going to do that well against that vaunted 49ers defense with the Smith brothers on one end and Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis Roman in the middle. Tell me what you guys think about this game. I'm sorry, with you, Mac, first, so you can be quick and then go to Jerry. But I really think it's going to be a good game. But I have the 49ers coming out with Kaepernick leading into an NFC title game.
I have the same thing. I have 49ers going and winning it. I think the one thing I've haven't too much seen this season is anybody stop Gore. And you know, I see their defense as very good. I think that San Francisco has the most well-balanced team in the league. They have probably the only team I'd say who has a well-balanced, has everything on both sides of the ball pretty much, is them in Seattle. But I don't see Green Bay beating Frisco. And this game is in Frisco, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. If it was in Lambeau, I'd say that I'd probably give them an edge. I'd give Green Bay an edge, but not this one.
JT.
Excuse me, tough game. Got a high-powered offense against a damn good defense and a decent offense playing at home. I'll go with San Francisco, but I'm not too confident of that.
Okay. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
We got about 7 minutes left of live air, so what I want to do real quick is promo all of our shows, and we're going to run into overtime just a little bit. So if you listen to us live, thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the Fantasy Sports Channel or it's Blog Talk Radio, or you're here at listening to us at one of the sites that has our player. Thank you for listening. Every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, FSP, Fantasy Sports Positive. This show airs 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Enjoy it. We do what we can to make you laugh and be a thought-provoking show. Today we had some good conversation with Mac and Jerry, so that was a good thing for us, even though they're boxing guys, I'm MMA. We'll bridge the gap some way. On Sundays, we have The Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Master, he always has something in store for you. This week, I believe he's going to talk about your matchups coming up that Sunday afternoon and Sunday night. He's also going to talk a little bit of basketball and start bridging that gap for fantasy baseball. What else you got on tap, JT?
Basically, that's probably about it. Probably recap what took place today. Talk about preview what's going on tomorrow. And like you said, the basketball, and I may touch a little bit on fantasy football for as a wrap-up. So.
All right. Then, Kim will be back from Mount Everest, hopefully at the end of the month.
Cool.
She's in India. Kim Fun. She does the Passion Bikini. She'll be back. So her show will not be airing this Tuesday again. We're sorry. And all you guys love her show.
She'll be back from where? Kilimanjaro? Is that what you said?
Well, she did Kilimanjaro. She did Kilimanjaro last year. This year she did Mount Everest. So
who is this chick? Like, who is the Hercules or something? Good Lord.
She has a Herculean mind, bruh. She is all about mindfulness and meditation. She is a holistic medicine. I think she's a monk now, but she's not a monk.
She's a what?
After I read the email, I don't know what her
Where
title is.
Where the heck do you find these people at, man?
Same place I found you, Crazy Town.
Oh,
anyway.
Okay. All right. All right.
All right. Okay. Nah, she's a friend of mine from Germany. She did a show with me for AFN.
There we go. Yeah, it was the sauerkraut. That's what happened. Okay.
No, she's not. She's of Asian descent.
No, I just said it was the sauerkraut over, and he found over sauerkraut. The sauerkraut got on his brain, and he's like, hey, you from Crazy Town, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you want to do a show?
Oh, Lord. This dude.
Sorry.
Anyway, Kip will be back with Compassion Bikini probably at the end of the month, but definitely in February. We'll talk about her adventures and things she went through, and, a lot of stuff with that. Then, on Thursdays, we have FSP Crew Show. That's Jeff, Black, and Jerry doing the damn thing. No more Thursday Night Football. So I'm thinking they're going to talk about basketball and bring in some special guests. I know that that's what the Black has planned. I'm not sure exactly where he's at with that. We'll see what happens there. But that's every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with those three guys, my crew. Then on Friday, you've got the knucklehead Mac Williams.
No,
Chase is co-hosted.
You know what's funny? I almost said your mama, and I had to restrict myself. I was like, don't play that.
Oh, for
real?
Yeah,
I was about to go to the old 1975. Man, your mama.
Oh,
you know, but I was like, no, I'm not going to say that.
Do you hear the insolence coming out of this gentleman?
Man. You should listen.
Every Friday, Mac Williams, No Chaser, and Jerry Taylor co-hosting.
I must say that you should listen to the show we had yesterday. It was a very, very good show with some guests that are, I predict, are going to be doing some big things in the future. New clothing line. Just listen to the show. I think it'll be very interesting.
That's right.
We have a lot of guests coming. We have a lot of guests coming this year. I'm putting a lot more guests on the show as opposed to just talking. I've already got.
That is great.
I already got February booked up, and the rest of this month booked up with guests, and I'm working on March right now. So, stay tuned.
All right, but this Friday coming up, who you have coming on to the show?
I have the former and one player, the current ball up player. I have none other than the professor coming back to the show, telling us what's going on, what he's up to, what he's doing in his life. The week after that, I have a guy named Matthew Horn who wrote a book about black youth, black men. And then the week after, I have the first woman to dunk in a professional game. Good friend of mine, been knowing me for years. Name is Sylvia Crawley. And she's a 1994 champion, won it with NCAA champ, won it with North Carolina. And, dunked it blindfolded. In a professional game. So I'm going to have some interesting guests coming up.
Well, the Mac Attack is back. He's coming out strong for 2013. And that's No Chaser, Mac Williams, Jerry Taylor, every Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, every show that is produced or is created from this group is outstanding. Every show, we provide you whatever it is you need, whether it's holistic medicine, whether it's controversy, whether it's entertainment, whether it's statistics, we can provide.
Even MMA.
Only you. Even what?
Yeah. Even MMA.
Back alley brawl.
Shut up. Shut up, you haters. Anyway, we provide the best programming on Blog Talk Radio. We don't need a big banner. We don't need to toot our horn. All we do is produce.
That's right.
Our numbers show.
That's
so,
right.
So, with that being said, again, next Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, Fantasy Sports and Politics, we'll be talking about who's playing in the NFC and AFC Championship. We'll be talking about whatever else is happening in the sports world There's a lot of coaches that need to be hired in the NFL. We're going to get to that. We'll still talk about this RG3 issue as far as playing or not playing him. But thanks for listening. We're about to go into overtime and talk about the Baltimore Ravens and the Denver Broncos. Catch us in our archives. We'll love to have you. All right, we're in overtime, guys. Let's go to this this game.
Can I ask y'all one question before you continue this?
Yeah.
I know it has nothing to do with what we're getting ready to talk about, but I just want to ask one question, especially you two. Have you guys seen Django Unchained?
No.
No, but I plan to see it.
It is the most racist movie I've ever seen. I just wanted to include that in so people listen to the archives. Please go look at it. It's embarrassing. Anyway, go ahead. Carry on. It is. I'm serious.
All right. Well, that's a topic for another show.
Once I go see it,
we'll be able to converse on that.
No, 9 times out of 10, you guys will probably like it, like everybody else. Go ahead.
You see how you just did that, JT?
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just lit. I catch this every Friday, so I know the deal.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, we'll discuss it, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens heading to Mile High Stadium. Or is it Canseco Field? I don't remember what it is anymore.
It's called Elway and Peyton Manning Worship Hall. That's what it's called.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I'm telling you.
Well, here's my deal. I'm going to pick the Baltimore Ravens to win this game in an upset.
I can't believe it.
The reason why I'm picking it is because I honestly think when Ray Rice told that group that he was retiring after this year,
You mean Ray Lewis?
Not Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis, thank you. Yeah. Ray Lewis told that group he's retiring. They stepped it up another notch for the playoffs because they want to take him out on a Super Bowl run.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco, he's not your premier quarterback, but he's their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the formula for the Broncos, for the Ravens to win this game is run Ray Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Run Ray Rice. Keep Peyton Manning off of the field. That defense is old of the Broncos. They're fast, but somewhat old. If you run Ray Rice, that puts Miller in an awkward position. Does he continue to rush upfield to try to get to Joe Flacco, or does he play a read style of linebacker where he reads and reacts? You got to run Ray Rice 30, 40 times this game. Dump the ball off. Flacco has a low passing total, maybe 20 balls he throws the entire game, and they win. If not, Manning will throw the ball all game and defeat the Baltimore Ravens like he did a couple of weeks ago, minus Ray Lewis, minus a few other players, but I honestly think that they're going to go in there, knock around No'Shawn Moreno, and believe it or not, Denver is the sixth worst team in the NFL at fumbles. At fumbles. They have 14 fumbles all year long. I see a couple more coming in this game, and Baltimore capitalize. So I'm picking the Ravens to win this game and advance to play the Houston Texans in the AFC title game. I went with Mac last time. Let's start with Jerry this time and finish it up with Mac.
11-0. I know some people may not like Peyton Manning, but strong defense, strong passing game with two good, very good wide receivers on the outside. Ravens don't have the same defense they had in the past years. I like Broncos.
Okay. Well, I like the Bengals. Oops, my bad. I'm sorry. Some country guy broke in my house. I think the Ravens are going to win. I want them to win. You guys already know why I want them to win. I don't care who's going in the Broncos. I want them to win because of the way my man did Tim Tebow, like I said. So I don't like Elway that much. So I hope they go in there and beat the hell out of them. And I think they're going to beat them. And like you said, I do agree with you that keep Peyton off the field. And, I think their defense is good. But both of these teams have good defenses. But I give the edge to, like you said, I give the edge to Baltimore because they're more amped up to do it because of Ray Lewis retiring. So I'm seeing, you know, I can, you know, I'm not going to sit and say how much, but I, again, that's another team that I've rarely, how many times have we ever seen Ray Rice get shut down? There ain't many that can do it, you know, so, you know, that's my prediction. I think Baltimore wins.
That's the key right there. Ray Rice hasn't been shut down with other teams, but he's been shut down by his offensive coordinator, who's no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
Now Caldwell is there facing his former quarterback, Peyton Manning, and he's the offensive coordinator, and he coaches Flacco. So we'll see what happens. If he runs the ball like he's supposed to, Baltimore should win this game. Doesn't, might not be a good day for the Ravens. Might be Ray Lewis's last game. That's mostly the last game of the weekend where we have, and everybody's picking, most people are picking, the Seattle Seahawks to go to the NFC Championship game because of the history of the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
A big key to this game is the DBs and wide receivers. That's what a lot of people say. I say, I say it's the tight end versus the linebackers. But let's hear what Pete Carroll has to say about the DB wide receiver situation.
This is going to be a great show to watch. You know, this is going to be a tremendous matchups, and we're going to look forward to see how Cam Chancellor does with Tony Gonzalez as well. You know, so there's three big matchups across the board that are going to be exciting to see. And it could, their receivers are so good, they could tell the story. But we're going to try to do everything we can to keep that from happening.
All right. Okay. All right. On my way. All right. Bye.
So, Matt, since you got to go somewhere, go ahead and you answer first.
Who, me?
Yeah, since you got to go somewhere, tell me what you think of what Pete Carroll had to say. As I said, Tony Gonzalez is going to be the main factor in this game when they go man-to-man coverage. Cam Chancellor checking Tony Gonzalez. What do you think about
that? I think Tony Gonzalez can be checked, I mean, but he's a tough cover because he's so athletic. I call that a toss-up because – with Tony Gonzalez, I think the thing with him is being a basketball player, you know, being a basketball player coming from that background and playing tight end, I just think he's more athletic. So I think it's going to be a tough thing, but I'd say it's a toss-up. I can't really say I agree with, you know that he'll stop him because Gonzalez is hard to stop.
JT.
Tough game. I know a lot of people are going against Atlanta. And picking Seattle. But you know what? Sooner or later, they got to get over the hump, and I think it's this year. I like Atlanta.
Who, Atlanta?
I think that's
going to happen.
Here's the deal. And I know I gave a little bit of information already, but I think this is the reason why they saved Michael Turner's legs for the playoff push. So that Michael Turner can ball hard versus this team. Last week, Seattle gave up 80 yards to Alfred Morris versus the Redskins on 16 rushing attempts. If they give Jaquez Rogers and Michael Turner the ball 20-25 times, they will beat the stinking Seattle Seahawks. If they don't, Matty Ice is good. But if Matty Ice has to throw the ball more than 25-30 times, it's going to be a tough game. Most of those balls need to go to Harry Douglas in the slot or Tony Gonzalez down the middle. I think Banner and old boy that got punched in the mouth, Sherman, running his mouth. He's a jerk, by the way. But they're good corners. So Roddy White and Julio Jones are going to have a tough way to go this week, but we'll see what happens.
All right.
Sure. But I'm picking Atlanta to advance and play San Fran in the Georgia Dome.
All right. Well, look, guys, I'm out of here. I appreciate it. I'm on my way to Winchester, Virginia, so I'm going to drop out the race because I'm on my way to Winchester to go watch the Beltway Bombers. Hopefully lose to the Storm. So I will
see
you guys.
So
Yeah, it is. It is. But
I know. I know why you said it, but that's still me.
Somebody has to do it. Sorry. Somebody has to be the bad guy. So, in the immortal words of Al Pacino, say hello to the bad guy. All right. I'll talk to y'all later.
Take care, man.
Later. All right, JT. Any final parting shot?
I'm through. I gotta get ready to go. I have to get ready to go to a wedding. So.
All right. Well, I thank you for coming on and being the co-host, doing your thing. MMA forever. I know you love that.
Yeah.
So. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the program. Hope you enjoyed it. Check us out next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Hopefully same host. Maybe not. I don't know. JT.
For myself and Mr. Vic Gardner, have a pleasant weekend. Enjoy the games. You've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little fuse, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy.